Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen from My Broadband.
Good afternoon, Jan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Can we talk about MultiChoice? They're killing the third-party Showmax and DStv Now apps. Definitely. I mean, could they not just maim it? Do they have to kill it?
These are Kodi add-ons. So for folks out there who might be more technically inclined, you might have a Kodi setup at home. So for those who don't know, Kodi is like a home theater package. It's software, open source software that you can download. You can run it on just about anything. So, you know, your normal PC, Mac, Windows, Linux, but then also you can run it on something like a Raspberry Pi. You can build like your own little smart TV, basically, using Kodi. And
wasn't Kodi illegal?
No, and so Kodi has a very unfortunate reputation as a piece of software that enables piracy. And there's an argument to be made for that because a lot of folks who use Kodi are also, you know, using it to download content, you know, pirate content from places like, you know, from torrent sites or stream content from services that are, you know, that are illegally streaming videos and stuff. So it does have an unfortunate reputation in that regard, but these specific add-ons were required you to have an account. You had to have a DStv or a Showmax account to use these add-ons. And MultiChoice's argument here is that firstly, it's difficult for them to do quality control. And secondly, they can't certify that these add-ons are safe. But the add-ons use, you know, their name and their branding. And so, you know, folks might install these add-ons and, inadvertently get their credentials harvested. And, you know, MultiChoice, you know, wants to get out ahead of that is one of the reasons it gave. And so, you know, one could, I guess, understand why MultiChoice would want these add-ons removed from the web. And the developer who made these things, he's not in the business of making illegal add-ons, so he complied 100%. Now, where things get questionable is MultiChoice doesn't do its enforcement directly, it seems. There's another company in the NASPASH stable called Irdurto. They're quite well known in the digital rights management space nowadays. And MultiChoice seemed to hand it off the thing to them. Irdurto acted on behalf of MultiChoice, sent out all these takedown requests. Irdurto also contacted PayPal with the developer's information because the developer accepts donations so that he gives away the add-ons for free, but accepts donations for his work. And these are two of, say, 50 add-ons that he does, and it's pretty small fry, you know, compared to the stuff that he develops for the New Zealand and Australian markets. And, anyway, Irdurto contacted PayPal, and PayPal terminated this developer's account, with seemingly no recourse. From the sounds of it, the developer tried to contest it, but from the sounds of it, how it works is the same as YouTube, which is that the complainant has to actually say, okay, cool, you know, that this, I'm taking back my complaint. But neither PayPal nor YouTube act as sort of judges in this situation. But they do seem to assume guilt. And kind of terminate the account or act against the copyrighted content. In YouTube's case, they don't just shut down your account, you get copyright struck. But yeah, it's pretty rough going for this developer who is kind of just trying to help out a bunch of South Africans who wanted to watch DStv Now and Showmax on their Kodi, setups at home. You know, not trying to circumvent any kind of system that MultiChoice has in place. They just want to use their own usernames and passwords to view this stuff. I guess there's an argument to be made for password sharing and so on, but from the sounds of it, you know, that's not what folks were trying to do, and certainly this developer was trying to do a good thing, and then he got bitten for it. He got burned for it quite hard. He says that luckily he got his money out of his PayPal account before it was shut down, and he's made a new one, but he can't use the old one. It's been terminated.
Fascinating. Can we just please talk about movie ticket prices? I mean, you know, today you can have a cinema in your own home. It's not like people are flocking to movies all the time because not every movie is going to be a Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
That said, how is it that Steak Unicorn can put their prices up 20%?
Yeah, I'm wondering, and I'm really hoping for feedback from them. A lot of the folks at Steak Unicorn only got back to work yesterday, and so I've been promised comment on exactly what's going on. What I suspect is happening is not that they, you know, felt that they could, but that they had to, because of what's happening to the rand dollar and stuff.
Okay, because nobody's going to movies and people have Netflix. You can have your own cinema and you can watch what you want on demand.
Right. That said, it's very interesting to see the feedback. On some of the stories we posted around these price increases, with folks saying, you know, they don't go to like a normal theater, but for date nights, they like to go to the prestige theater, the lounges.
Hyde Park. I was telling Simon about it.
Yes, and so you know, it sort of becomes a treat, a night out, more than. But I mean, a date night, you know, usually if it's a proper date night, we're talking once a week kind of thing, right? So, or that's the ideal anyway. And so, you know, once a week, you've got a bunch of regular customers, that's not so bad. But, I don't know that Steak Unicorn can sustain itself just on that. So, it would be very, very interesting to hear what the thinking was behind these price increases, because as far as I can tell, usually, Steak Unicorn and New Metro put up their prices about once a year, or adjust it. Sometimes there are a handful of cases where prices at certain cinemas have gone down. That is certainly not the case this time. But what happened last year is it looked like Steak Unicorn put up its prices less than New Metro, below inflation, actually. And for the first time in a long while, Steak Unicorn found itself sometimes cheaper than New Metro. And then it put up its prices twice more last year. So something happened in terms of the costs that the company is facing. That's the only logical reason I can think of that it took these drastic steps, because the prices didn't go up by a little bit. At some of its more affordable cinemas, the prices went up by 20%. So that's Stadelante and Maponya Mall, got hit with two big price increases, one above CPI the first time round, and then another one by like 20% now most recently. So folks who were going to the movies on the cheap, like below 50 rand a ticket or whatever, those prices are rapidly rocketing up. And those sort of cheap theaters are, their prices are slowly sort of being brought in line with, Steak Unicorn's, like overall second tier. They price their cinemas, individually, but they kind of have like, I want to say five broad groups. It looks like they're collapsing the four cheaper groups into one set of prices. Yeah. That's the trend.
And yet it's still so much cheaper to watch a movie in South Africa than it is anywhere else. Well,
that's the other thing, right? We didn't even get to touch on that, but it's a comparison I'd love to do, but it's so time consuming and obviously fraught with peril.
Oh my gosh, are we getting to the South Africa's got the cheapest electricity in the world debate?
Yeah, but movies.
There's
honestly,
no way to defend your prices.
Yeah, it's exactly. This is why I prefer just normal CPI. because that gives you, pricing relative to South Africa itself. But even that is difficult, because Steak Unicorn is not just, its costs is not just linked to its labor and CPI and the cost of food and stuff, which it also makes a ton of money on, in South Africa. Its costs are unfortunately linked to foreign exchange. It has to buy equipment.
But
in US dollar, it has to buy content in US
dollar. Hold on, Jan. They sell adverts. It's a prime media company.
Right. And when you go into a movie,
there's more to the story
of its running. The amount of adverts. Oh, sorry. After the first week of its running, the amount of adverts that run before a movie. It's incredible. I don't know when last you've been in a movie, but it's well over 20 minutes often.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, some of those movies, some of those ads, you actually want to go early to see, because they're
sometimes
always different. They're not just your regular ads that you would see on television.
Yes.
There's something special, and they, you know, what's happened to the industry, people? Either you're going to save it or you're going to let it go.
Right, right. And I think all these companies, so the MultiChoices and the Prime Medias of the world, they're facing an interesting time. They kind of have a bit of runway because we're in South Africa and you know, the broadband penetration on the African continent as a whole leaves much to be desired. South Africa is actually better off than most. But when fiber becomes more readily available, you're gonna end up in a situation where you have to compete with multinational monstrous companies like Netflix, Amazon, eventually Hulu, and that is going to be a tricky proposition. Stukinico at least has the ginormic screen sizes going for it still. They have an experience that they can sell.
Yeah, you've got to come up with a business model that is going to focus on your, on your pros and your strengths and.
Right.
Yeah.
And for that to succeed, they've got some work to do. I mean, they've really tried, but the fact is, you need to get things like just perfect. If it's going to be an experience, think of it like the hospitality industry.
Yes, exactly.
Like a hotel can't be just good enough. You know, it has to be.
No, just ask Gordon Ramsay.
Exceptional service to foster. Yeah. Happiness and loyalty in people.
Exactly.
And so right now the Stukinico website experience is poor.
Shocking.
When you get to the cinema itself, your experience, your customer service angry. Experience
they
is
They need a good brand
poor.
Manager. That's what they need. They need somebody who understands and who can carry through the brand manage, the brand, the brand from the product to how it's marketed. But Jan, I want to talk about Gillette's ad with you.
Right. I haven't had an opportunity to see it yet, to be completely honest.
All right, so can I play it for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, unfortunately, it's called We Believe, the Best a Man Can Be. Okay? Do you remember the Gillette ads in the 80s? Gillette, the best a man can get. Do you remember that?
I remember,
that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so they've put out this new ad, and it's available on YouTube. Just go check it out. It's the first ad listed on their channel. But I want you to take a listen to it, and then I want to bring you in on a discussion with Simon. Okay, unfortunately, there are some visuals that you're going to need, but you'll get the gist of it.
Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long. We can't laugh it off.
Who's the daddy?
What I actually think she's trying to say.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men. For everyone.
And small.
I am strong.
I am strong.
But some is not enough.
That's not how we treat each other, okay?
Okay.
Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
This is Gillette, the best a man can get. What do you think, Jan?
It reminds me a lot of what the Black Label has done with its a new ad campaign in South Africa. There's a lot of focus on what's happening in the entertainment world with the Me Too movement and so on. But these brands have always and a Black Label in particular, they always run these inspirational ads. Mm. The idea is to get people to feel good. and sort of associate that good feeling or that hopeful feeling with your product, right?
Right, and yet this is doing the opposite.
Well, polarizing, it kind of reminds me a little bit, I don't know if you remember the ad that Charlize Theron did in South Africa,
the Real Men Don't Rape ad,
right?
Yeah.
I remember I was very young at the time, so I didn't fully grasp the visceral reaction that some people had to that ad. But a lot of people, the way that that ad spoke to them was Charlize Theron is saying all South African men rape. And so they kind of experienced
it
as
that's an interesting
attack. But she wasn't saying that. She was saying real men don't rape.
Agreed. And I was 100% in your camp. And so I think the same thing is happening here where You've got a message that is intended to be sort of uplifting and hopeful, and it's polarizing. It's polarizing because of the context the sociological context, I want to say, that the ad is airing in.
All right. I would like women's razors. You know, those pink ones that are overpriced and priced so much more than
right.
men's razors.
Right. Let's talk about hypocrisy.
I would like them to put out a campaign about how men are being bullied for being men. Okay.
I'm gonna abdicate here. But certainly, there's almost a hypocrisy, right? So this is the thing that I think people need to remember when it comes to these advertising campaigns. The purpose of an ad campaign is to sell product, right? So the company isn't there to be your friend or to send out a happy social message or to make a point. Like the people who create the ad often do. A guy called Dan Mace comes to mind. He's big on YouTube now. He was big in South Africa's ad industry for a while and did some interesting things. But the second you mentioned women's razors, I mean, there's this, social focus in the new ad, but, what about what's happening with their own, product lines for women? But perhaps, you know, people need to be looking more critically from where these messages come as well. I think it's a valid point that you raise there. It's take from the ad what you will, but also remember that the purpose of advertising is to ultimately get the brand to stick your head so that you will buy their products.
Exactly. Jan, that is where we leave it today. And it's always a pleasure to speak to you. We look forward to you doing something on mybroadband.co.za about the Gillette ad.
Thanks very much. Have a great
day. All right. Cheers. That's Jan Vermeulen. He's editor at large for My Broadband.